and so to Kew, and a time when there were no speed cameras on our roads, only horses to set the pace.
It became a scientific institution in 1841 when it was transferred from the Royal Estates to be a government-funded institution. Its role from there on was largely scientific. However, as a botanic garden, it started in 1759 when the first head gardener in charge of the botanical collections was appointed by Princess Augusta, the father of George III. The mother, I beg your pardon, of George III.
And that's the anniversary we're looking forward to at the moment.
That's right.
Nigel Taylor is curator and historian at Kew Gardens, which over its 250 years has established strong links with Australia. Indeed, its present director is from Perth. But there's more.
Kew Gardens is the first place in Europe where kangaroos were found after they were brought back from Australia. We have the bones to prove it, and we also in the Royal Archive have correspondence from George III saying to his courtiers, "Would you please accept a kangaroo for your estate, sir?" And they reply, "No, sire, we have no fences high enough to contain them." But perhaps the more interesting thing from an Australian context is that at least a part of the Australian sheep industry had its origin in Kew, because in 1810, Sir Joseph Banks was ordered by George III during one of his bouts of madness to auction off his livestock, including merino sheep that had been acquired from Spain, probably under rather dubious circumstances for the king. And these were then auctioned off around the pagoda. So there is a curious connection between the pagoda and the Australian sheep industry, because the man who bought the merinos exported them to Australia.
Nigel Taylor. And so, to the herbarium. So what's this?
This is a type specimen of a plant called Calceolaria darwinii. The material here came from Charles Darwin, communicated by Henslow, his friend at Cambridge and supporter. Darwin's top set's at Cambridge, so there'll be another specimen of this one at Cambridge. We have it barcoded here, which means that the specimen is available as an image through a website and its details can be found online. It's a rather sweet little thing. Several other specimens on the sheet here, various collections, all from the southern tip of South America, from Magellan Straits. Now this label here you can see is CD, that's Charles Darwin's initials in his own writing.
So any idea roughly when he would have been there collecting himself, Charles Darwin? Be something like the 1820s, I suppose. Very elegant handwriting.
Yeah, it's lovely, isn't it?
Elizabeth Island, Strait of Magellan, CD.
Yeah, and you'll see that originally this plant was called Calceolaria darwinii, Bentham. So Bentham looked at it. The collection was originally in Hooker's collection. Bentham looked at it, thought it was a new species, and called it darwinii. After Charles Darwin, on the basis of his specimen.
But it was the man himself, and it was his handwriting itself, and it's part of history. How many specimens of Darwin's do you think you have, roughly?
I'm not sure. We've probably got a couple of hundred. The top set is in Cambridge, but we do have a reasonably good collection of his duplicates.
Alan Payton is the assistant keeper in the Kew Herbarium. It's a gigantic, airy, barn-like building with files reaching up to the immensely high ceiling. Alan, what are you doing up that ladder?
I'm trying to locate a specimen collected by David Livingston of a plant known as Scutellaria. Scutellaria is an interesting genus. It occurs in most of the places of the world, about 350 species around the planet. And it also goes in Scotland, which I think, if I can find the specimen, it will illustrate you.
Well, let's take it down and go over by the window there. Now, when we say the name Livingston, which Livingston?
David Livingston, who was a missionary, opened up the large part of South Central Africa in his tours, and very famous explorer.
And was met by someone, Stanley, looking for him, and he said, what did he say?
Dr. Livingston, I presume.
And he was right.
And he was indeed.
I wonder if it really happened. I'm just looking at the sheet. It's got four plants or pieces of plants stuck onto the page. And I can see your writing here, February 1990. I can't see Livingston's writing. Is that Okay, oh, down there.
This is it here. I examined this genus as part of my work on African plants, and I was trying to understand what plants existed, how you told them apart, how you could identify them, and how they may be related. So, and in doing this, I came across this specimen here, which Scutellaria livingstonii, from Dr. Livingston's notebook, received at Kew 1874. And this little bit of plant material here was the thing that was held in David Livingston's notebook and brought back to Kew. And we have Livingston notebooks in our archive here at Kew.
I see. So this tiny envelope of stuff, which I can actually touch, I imagine I'm supposed not to, but how amazing.
And these are just other samples of the plant from the same area. Mm. So by having more than one sample, you can see how variable a plant can be.
Mm. Was it known that Livingston collected plants in such a systematic way?
He did collect plants, but he had his own botanist with him, Dr. John Kirk, who later became governor of Zanzibar. Kirk was a very accomplished botanist and collected lots of plants on Livingston's expedition. Today, the Botanical Journal of Zimbabwe is called Kirkia, named after him.
Now, we're in the herbarium at Kew Gardens, immensely famous, very, very large. What percentage of the world's plants do you think you've got here?
We probably have representation of around 95 to 98% of all plant genera. There are around about 14,000 genera of plants. That's groups of closely related species, if you like. In all, there are around 350,000 plant species. We don't have them all. But if pushed, I would say we had about 70% of them.
So 70% of those, but otherwise 98% are the upper limit of the different types.
Of the genera, yeah.
When did people start collecting here at Kew?
The herbarium here has been in sight since 1853, as the Royal Botanic Gardens was becoming established as a scientific institute. The first director, William Hooker, was its director, and the herbarium started here as Hooker's own private collection. And it has been subsequently built on by other large, initially fairly large collections. George Bentham, who was a relation of Jeremy Bentham, was another very famous botanist, and his collections came to Kew in around 1870.
Yeah, Jeremy Bentham, you can actually meet if you go to University College London.
Right.
Yeah. He's stuffed. in a glass case, and famously, I've said this on the programme before, he is wheeled into council meetings of the university and makes very useful contributions through his silence and consistency. But the other Bentham actually...
Other Bentham was very important. He worked with William Hooker's son, Joseph Hooker, who was the second director of Kew. And they together wrote one of the first major treatises on plants, the genera plantarum, a list of all the genera of plants at that time, which was a fairly massive achievement. And Bentham worked a lot, actually, on this family. This is the mint family we're looking at. And
mint?
The mint family, yeah. Mint and basils, the Lamiaceae, which also contains teak. And Bentham was an expert on it. He was actually an expert on a lot. He was also an expert in legumes, the beans. He wrote the first Flora australiensis of Hong Kong as well.
Flora australiensis?
Yeah.
Way back then.
Yeah.
Now, tell me, do you sometimes have that happen when you're in search of a particular plant and you happen to see, my gosh, that's David Livingstone or that's Darwin or someone like that?
Yes, it does happen. Most of the collection isn't catalogued individually. We are increasingly databasing our collections. So you can find things like, tell me where all Darwin specimens are. And we already have, because we've been databasing our type specimens of Latin America, we already have a few Darwin specimens in that database. So you can begin to see how many we actually have. The top set of Darwin collections, for example, is in Cambridge.
In Cambridge, of course, he was at Cambridge, at Christ's College. And so that's not so surprising. But people often forget what a bloody good botanist he was. He was just orchids and all sorts of things.
Yes, he collected a wide range of plant species. He wasn't just interested in small groups. He was looking at the big picture, I think.
How long have you been here, then?
18 years. So maybe I'm becoming institutionalised.
You're settling in. And were you possibly in Scotland doing similar work?
Yes, I did my degree in Edinburgh, Royal Botanic Garden in Edinburgh. working on this plant, actually.
Scotland. Oh, really, on the mint?
Yes.
Which you get in the Highlands, do you?
There's a species, which not the same species as this, but one which actually looks very similar, which grows very commonly on inland waterways in Britain. And it does occur in the Forth. And one of the reasons why I think Livingstone's would be carrying this strange little scrap of plant in his pocketbook is it looks very similar to a plant which would have grown by the mills in the original Blantyre in Scotland.
He would have known it.
And he'd have known it.
Yeah.
He grew up by the mill streams and this thing grows in that area.
Now, the building is gigantic and, of course, you've got the stores, the cupboards going on forever like some giant's library. Is this the only site or do you go elsewhere as well?
The only site of Kew's herbarium collection is here. At the moment, we have some specimens down at Wakehurst Place, which is our seed bank site. The reason is we just ran out of space. And if you look over in that direction, you'll see our new building going up. And the new building will provide us about 40 years' expansion space for the collection. The original herbarium occupied one room of this original house. Every 30 years, thereabouts afterwards, we have built a wing onto this building.
But Britain itself with very few specimens. I didn't realise that. Was it because so many had been allowed to languish and then disappear, or because England, this area in general, wasn't blessed with too many?
You mean plant species on Britain? We've got about 1,500, which in the great scale of things is not a lot. The reason is that after the last glaciation, Britain was largely covered by ice. And there was a relatively short period of time after the ice left and before the English Channel formed. So the time for migration wasn't that large. So as a result, the British flora is depauperate when you compare it to France, Belgium. So just some things just didn't make it back.
But you obviously have arrangements with a number of herbaria, not least ones in Australia, I suppose.
Yes, we work with many herbaria worldwide. We work quite closely with Australia. We have an Australian liaison botanist who's appointed by the Australian government who works at Kew. And his role is to facilitate transfer of information on plants from Kew back to Australia.